All right, Trouble Site, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Yud Beis. We're picking up Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b, and we're picking up Nigmar Dino V'Na'aseh Kohen Gadol. It's 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, remember again, we're speaking about the different technicalities in Ir Miklat. Ultimately, again, under what circumstances a person is exiled, under what circumstances. I'm not going to continue with this now. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Yona and Shushi Ehrenfeld in memory of Yona's grandfather, Reb Gedalia ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talm Torah, Hashem will have an aliyah and the family in the Chama. So we'll say, so let's begin. So Tana. I'm sorry, Nigmar Dino, excuse me. It's 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. 4 words from the end of the line. Nigmar Dino, V'na'aseh Kohen ben Gerusha ben Chalutz. Well, it's an interesting case. Let's say, again, his sentence is passed. Nigmar Dino, he's convicted. The verdict is handed down. And the Kohen Gadol is declared as a ben Gerusha ben Chalutz. Which means what? The Kohen Gadol is disqualified. Word gets out that the Kohen Gadol is not only not a Kohen Gadol, but he's not a Kohen. He's not a Kohen. And at the end of the day, again, he's totally disqualified. So we'll say, so the Shaila is, what does this do with the, what is this meaning? But just to define our terms, Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza means his father married a divorcee or married a woman who underwent Chalitza. Both illegal marriages for a Kohen, and the resulting offspring is disqualified from the Kohuna. It now turns out there's a scandal that the Kohen Gadol ultimately, again, is not, he's a Chalal. He's a chalal. So therefore, again, what do we do? What's the impact of that on the accidental killer? So plihi bar Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. It's machlokes chadamar meisa kuhuna. One says that when the Kohen Gadol is disqualified, that's the equivalent of the Kohen Gadol dying. And what happens when the Kohen Gadol dies? So the mice again. So Bosei, remember again, in this case over here, the verdict has been handed down. The convicted accidental killer has not yet gone to Golis. He's about to go, and again, late breaking news, Cohen is a Ben Grusha. Cohen's a Ben Grusha. So again, so first opinion says, that's the equivalent, ultimately, again, of the Kohen Gadol dying, and therefore he doesn't have to go to Golis. The Chad Amar Bat Lakuna. Mostly the other opinion says, no, it's as if retroactively there was no Kohen Gadol. And mostly, what's the halacha if at the time of conviction there is no Kohen Gadol? We learned this yesterday. What's the halacha? He goes to Golis forever. He goes to Golis forever. Right? That close, right? He goes and he does not come out. So what's his fundamental machlokes? Think about the Rebbe Elazar Yoshua coming up. Say this machlokes, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua. So Yomar says, Disnan, Hoya Omeit Umakriv Agabi Mizbeach. So listen to this. If a Kohen was offering, he's in the middle of the Avoda, Benoda, Shuben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and he finds out that he is a Ben. So again, the Bosa is a stomach case. Kohen's doing the Avoda. He finds out that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. What happens? Rabbi Eliezer Omer called Karbano Shekriv Psulim. Rabbi Eliezer says, any carbon that he has offered is possible. Anything that he has ever done is possible. Rabbi Eliezer, now the ramifications of that could be quite extreme. Not our topic for today. Rabbi Yeshua Machshir. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no. In other words, obviously, he can't do any avoda from this point forward, but anything he has done in the past is fine. Mandam or Mesa, Kerab Yeshua. So, we'll say the opinion who says that when the Kohen Gadol is discovered to be a Ben Grusha, that ultimately, again, it's as if he died. See, he must be in alignment with Rabbi Yeshua, right? I will say the idea being that essentially the disqualification of the Kohen Gadol or of the Kohen takes place when? From this point forward. From the time we receive the information forward is when the disqualification hits. However, Umandam or Batla, Kerebi Eliezer. But the one who says ultimately, again, that anything he's ever done ultimately is bottle, any carbon that he's ever offered is bottle, is like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that when he's discovered to be a Ben Grusha, the Kuna Gedola is retroactively disqualified. To which the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Well, say, top of your base, Ali, but Rabbi Eliezer, Kuli Amalo Pligi. So, what's going to Eliezer? Everybody agrees. Ki Pligi. So, we'll say, when ultimately again? So, when does the Machalkis come up? Ali, but Rabbi Yoshua, how so? We'll say, Mandamar Mesa. So we'll say the one who says ultimately that it's as if when the Kohen Gadol is discovered to be a Ben Grusha, that ultimately again he is like Mesa. It's as if he has died, and therefore again the convicted killer goes free, doesn't even have to go to Galus. That's obviously like Rabbi Yeshua, right? We'll say that's in line with Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that when a Kohen is discovered to be disqualified, the Karbanos he offered in the past are fine. Anything from this point going forward is not good. Umadam Rabatla, but I will say ultimately again, the one who says that Lamaisa, when the Kohen Gadol is discovered to be a Ben Grusha, that the Kohuna is Batal, which also means retroactively, it's considered to be undone. Ad Kamakam Rabbi Yeshua Hassam, Dirsev Barech Hashem Chelo, Paul Yadav Tirzeh. The reason Rabbi Yeshua says in a stamp kisa vavoda that anything he did in the past is kosher, but it's only that which is done from this point forward that is disqualified, is because of the pasuk Rabbi Yosei in Devarim, where the pasuk says Baruch Hashem Chelo upoel yadav tirtze. Literally, Hashem Baruch will bless his strength upoel yadav tirtze. That which he has done with his hands will be accepted. The Chazal understand that Rabbi Yosei to be a reference to a disqualified coin, or a coin who's discovered to be disqualified. That anything he done did in the past is fine. The disqualification ultimately, again, is from this point going forward. Afidu chalolun shebo, aval hocha, afidu Rabbi Yoshua mode. We're about to say, in this case over here, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that what? Even Rabbi Yossi, let me say differently, Rabbi Yeshua's statement is by Avoda. When it comes to Avoda, if there's a disqualification discovered in the Kohen, we will say anything he did up until this point is okay, anything going forward will be unacceptable. However, when it comes to the death of the Kohen Gadol in the Ur Miklat, I will say now that he's discovered that he was never a Kohen Gadol, it could be that even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that it's therefore retroactively considered as if the verdict was handed down in what type of circumstance? In the absence of a Kohen Gadol, in which case the person who is exiled ultimately forever. Okay, so fundamental machlokes. Nigmar dino, supposed to listen to this. Amar Rav Yehuda, shtei ta'oyos ta'yoav, ba'os ha'shav, ba'os ha'yoav, when he was running away from Shlomo HaMelech, made two mistakes. Supposed to say a little bit of context. David HaMelech on his deathbed gives his son Yoav a whole number of different commands, different instructions. Amongst the instructions that David gives to Shlomo is to kill Yoav. David HaMelech felt that Yoav was guilty of killing two innocent people. David HaMelech did not want to punish Yoav during his lifetime. Yoav was a major general of David, and David had enough unrest during his lifetime. So he goes ahead and he gives it to Shlomo. Shlomo goes and he goes to execute Yoav. What does Yoav do? Yoav runs to the Mishkan. He takes hold of the corners of the Mizbeach, and essentially they claim sanctuary, right? He claims sanctuary, meaning he says, I'm safe, right? I'm safe. Do not go ahead, and you can't touch me. So the Gemara says, Yoav made two mistakes. What were his mistakes? Number one, Dichsiv, Vayanas Yoav al-Ol HaShem v'Yechazik b'Karnas HaMizbeach. He held on to the corners of the Mizbeach. And what happens? So his mistake number one is, Shena call it Elagago, Futafis Pekarnosa, Abosai, the Mizbeach does afford sanctuary, but it's only the top of the Mizbeach, it's not the corners. Furthermore, Tashina Kolit Ela Mizbeach Beis Ha'olamim, Vutafas Mizbeach Shel Shilo. We'll say furthermore again, it is only the Mizbeach ultimately of the Beis HaMikdash that goes ahead and affords a sanctuary, not the Mizbeach of the Mishkan. So he held on to the corners of the Mizbeach in the Mishkan. So these are the mistakes of Yoav. Abai Amar Abai, so we'll say second wide line, Anyin Beis HaMadalaf, Abai Amar, Bahar Nami Mitata, he also made another mistake. That's what? She'ino kolet el koin va'avoda biyado v'hu zarhaya. But say furthermore again, the Mizbeach only affords sanctuary to the Kohen who's currently engaged in the avoda. The pasuk that the Gemara is referencing over here is when the pasuk says, me'imiz b'chi tikachen lamos. That even if a Kohen committed a murder, even if what? Even if Lamaisa is serving in the Beis HaMikdash, you take him out to be punished. The idea over here is that avoda doesn't protect you. Unless, of course, you're standing on the top of the Mizbeach. If you're standing on the top of the Mizbeach, that affords you sanctuary. But even that only affords a Kohen who is doing the Avodah sanctuary. A non-Kohen, like Yoav, who's just in the Mishkan holding onto the corners, is not afforded sanctuary. Fine. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Shalosh ta'ayos asid saro sharami lito. So this is a very profound Gemara. Reish Lakish says that the ministering angel of Rome is going to make three mistakes in the Messianic era. I will say, who is the ministering angel of Rome? It's an angel, Rashi points out, by the name of Samael. Rashi says, Sarah Shal Romi is Samael, Shivrach Batzah. So we'll say, by the way, interestingly enough, we know that name Samael, because who else is Samael? The Ramban brings him down as the Malach of the Midbar as well. Strange Ramban, very difficult Ramban, by the Seir La'azazel. Not our topic for now. By the Seir La'azazel, speaking about the force that rules over the Midbar, also by the name of Samael. In any event, so what's going to happen? There are three mistakes that the Malach of Rome is going to make. The Malach of Samael. We'll say, what are the three mistakes? We'll say, now this refers to the fact that in the Messianic era, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to slaughter the angel of Rome. The Messianic Shmarku is going to take revenge on all those who oppressed Klal Yisrael throughout the ages. And of course, the nation which bears the greatest responsibility for affliction of Klal Yisrael is Edom. Is Edom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go ahead and kill the Malach of Edom, who's also known as the Malach of Rome. And the Malach of Rome is going to make three mistakes. What are the three mistakes? So the Gemara says, so we'll say, who is the one who is coming from Edom? Literally, again, his clothing is stained with blood. That's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he comes back from killing the Malach of Edom. What are the mistakes? So the Malach of Rome is going to run to one of the Ari Miklat. He's going to run to one of the cities of refuge. So I'll say, he just makes a little mistake. He runs to the city of Batsra. Meanwhile, Batsra is not an Ir Miklat. Betzer is. We'll say, same way, if you're one letter off in your GPS, right? One letter off in your GPS, you get to the wrong location. A little hay makes all of the difference. Furthermore, again, he makes a mistake in that the Ir Miklat provides refuge for everyone. The Ir Miklat doesn't provide refuge for everyone. The Ir Miklat only provides refuge for those who kill accidentally, not for those who kill intentionally. Furthermore, again, the Ir Miklat only provides refuge for man, and he is a malach. So there's a lot to discuss what exactly this means, but again, a very profound Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abbahu, Ir Miklat lo nisnu lekvura. Rabbi Abbahu says, you cannot bury dead people in an Ir Miklat. Tichsiv, umigrushem yule behem tamul rechushem lechol chayasam. Lechayim nasnu velo lekvura. That the Ari Miklat, Rabbi Abbahu, which also were the Ari Leviim, were only given for the living, not for the dead. One second, is that true? But we learn, Meisvei, Shama Tehei Diraso, Sham Tehei Misaso, Sham Tehei Kvuraso. We just said in yesterday's daf, that's what? That when a person dies in the Ir Miklat, ultimately, again, that's where they're buried. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Rotzeach Shaini Digolibe. You're right. Ultimately, again, that the Ari Miklat, are only people who can be buried in Ari Miklat, are the accidental killers. What the Gemara is telling us, say, this is indeed how the Rambam paskins, Leviim, who live in this city, cannot be buried in that city. Amazingly enough, it is only the accidental killers who are exiled to that city who are ultimately buried in that city as well. Kishem Sha'ir Kolatas. So also remember again, the Mishnah said the same way that the Ir Miklat provides refuge, so too does the Tchum of the Ir Miklat, right? The outer boundary, the 2,000 Amas outside the Ir Miklat, also provide refuge. So the Gemara says, Urminu, Orei Zakasha. So the Urminu, Kvurasa, I'm sorry, Urminu V'yashav Ba, But one second, the pasuk says that the killer, the rotzeach b'shogig, should live in the city, but not in the tchum. So you see from here that he can't establish residence in the tchum. If so, again, why does the tchum afford refuge? Am rabbi lo kashya kan liklot kan lador. Two different things. It provides refuge, but you're not allowed to live there. In other words, once the killer b'shogeg gets into the tchum of the Ir Miklat, he is afforded the protective powers of the Ir Miklat. But he's not allowed to establish residence there. So the Gemara says, Lador teifoklei, den oses sada migrash, v'lo migrash sada, lo migrash ir, v'lo ir migrash. It will say, why don't you go ahead and establish that you can't live in the tchum for one simple reason? That it will say, the tchum is usually part of the outlying fields, and you can't turn the outlying fields into a domicile. This would be true even if you were to tunnel. In other words, let's say that the killer b'shogeg were to dig for himself an underground bunker in the tchum. So it doesn't disrupt the surface area of the field. He's not transforming agricultural land into residential land. He's living underground. He still can't establish domicile in the tchum. Domicile for the killer b'shogeg must be established in the city proper. So now we get into the interesting discussion about the license to kill the killer b'shogeg. So we'll say the pasuk says, and the goal adam, which we'll also remember is the closest surviving relative of the victim, will kill the rotzeach, will kill the killer b'shogeg. To which the Gemara says, mitzvah biad goal adam. There is a mitzvah for the goal adam to kill the accidental killer. Ain goal adam. What if there's no goal adam? Then reshus biad kol adam. Then I will say every person has a right to kill the killer b'shogeg. Rabbi Yosef Lili says it's a mitzvah for the goal adam to kill the accidental killer, and if there is no goal adam, then ultimately what? Then ultimately anyone has the right. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Reshus piyad goal adam. Rabbi Kiva says the goal adam has a right, has the license to kill the accidental killer, v'chol adam chayav v'nalav. But I will say, if anyone else were to kill the accidental killer, they would be chayav for an act of bloodshed. So the Gemara says, my time, Rabbi Yosi Alivi, what's Rabbi Yosi Alivi's logic? Miksiv imratzach. Does the pasuk say, if the goal hadam will kill the accidental killer? I will say, what does the pasuk say? V'ratzach. I will say, v'ratzach means he has an absolute license to do so. So if Rabbi Yosi Alivi understands it, that it is a mitzvah upon the goal adam to actually kill the accidental killer. And everyone else has the license to serve. Rabbi Kiva says, Miksiv Yirtzach, is the Pasach Rabbi Yosef phrased as a command? Does it say Yirtzach that the goal adam should kill the accidental killer? It doesn't say Yirtzach, it doesn't say he should kill. What does it say? Baratzach, if he does kill, it's not a command, but rather again, it's an opportunity. Not an opportunity, but again, it is an option that he has. He has an option that he has at his discretion to exercise. So the most Amar Mazur Shabartovi Amarav, Rotseach Sheyatzachotz Letchom. So we'll say, so first of all, again, in this fundamental machlokis, alright, there's so much to say on this. Fine. Well, all right. I'll just say we paskin ultimately like Rabbi Akiva. We paskin, I will say, this idea that there is no mitzvah for the goal hadam ultimately to kill the accidental killer, but he has an absolute license to do so. And if he does so, then ultimately he's not culpable. Anyone else who lays a hand on the accidental killer will absolutely be chayav for an act of bloodshed. So I will say the Gemara advances another shita. Amar Mazuch Bar Tovia Amarav Rotzeach Shiyotze Chutz Letchum. Also, listen to this case. A rotzeach, an accidental killer, who leaves the tchum of the ir miklat. And what happens? Umatzo gol hadam, and the gol hadam finds him, vahargo, and kills him, neragalov. Rabbi will say, the gol hadam is killed, is executed for this act of bloodshed. So Rabbi will say, come on, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi will say, now this is a third sheet. And this third sheet, what does it sound like? The gol hadam has absolutely no right to lay a hand on the killer b'shogeg, and if he does so, he's exiled. So, come on, whose opinion does this reflect? Lo Rabbi Yosef Halili, velo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi say it is not like Rabbi Yosef Halili, and it is not like Rabbi Akiva. Hu da amar ki ay tana. He holds like the following tana. This sanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, ad amdo lifnei ha'eda. The pasuk says, until he stands, right? It's actually a reference ultimately to the killer b'shogeg. You can't kill him ad amdo lifnei ha'eda l'mishpat. What does that mean? You can't kill him until you put him before the eda for judgment. Ma tamud lomar lefi shenemar v'ratzach gol adam es haratzeach. You might have thought that what? That the gol adam. That the gol adam will kill the rotzeach miyad. You might have thought that the Gol Adam has the right to kill the Rotzeach. When I will say immediately. What does that mean immediately? You might have thought that as soon as the Rotzeach, as soon as the accidental killer kills the victim, that the Gol Adam has the right to take his revenge right then and there. Talmud Lomar, no. Ad amdo lifnei ha'eda l'mishpat. Ultimately, again, you have to bring the accidental killer before Beis Din for judgment. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva, Hai Ad Amdo Lefnei Eidel Mishpat Mai Darshibe. What's Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva? What do they do with this pasuk? Homi Boyle the Chidasanya. The boss said they need it for the following teaching. Rabbi Akiva Omer Minayin Le Sanhedrin Sharel Echachar Ges and Efeshem Amisin also Ad Shiamo Bebeis Nacher. They will say, how do we know that if the Sanhedrin witnessed the murder, they witnessed an accidental murder? That's what? That Beis Din cannot try the case. Rather, again, the case must go to another Beis Din. Talmud Lomar, Ad Amdu Lefnei Ha'Eda Lemishpat, Ad Shiyamo BeBeis Din Acher. Ten Rabbanon, Im Yatzar Ratzeach, In the Ela BeMezid. B'Shei Rabbanon, so listen to this. I know that if the Ratzeach leaves, we'll say the Ratzeach is the accidental killer. I know that if the Ratzeach leaves the Tchum of the Ir Miklat, that if he leaves BeMezid, if he leaves intentionally, then what? Then the Gal Adam has the right to kill him. B'Shogeg Minayin. We'll say, what about B'Shogeg? What about, again, I want to say, the Gal Adam, it's a beautiful day, the Gal Adam is just taking a shpatir in the Ir Miklat, and you know what? He wanders out. Now, both say, now, the Pashtus, you know, historically, on Ir Miklat, they actually had, like, boundary warnings, right? This idea, you are about to leave the proximity of the Ir Miklat. But let's say, again, this particular city didn't. So he wanders out. He wanders out, but totally b'shogeg. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Talmud Lomar, so we'll say, how do we know that even in that case, the Gal Adam has the right, to go ahead and kill him. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, how do we know this? Talmud Lomar, im yatzo yetzi mikol makom. Ultimately, again, the pasuk says, if he goes out, no matter how he goes out intentionally, goes out unintentionally, he goes to Golus. So the Gemara says, Vatanya b'mezid nerag b'shoge gola. But I will say, one second, we learn that if the Rotzeach goes out of the Ir Miklat, intentionally he's killed, but unintentionally, this case over here is like a real whammy. What happens? The Rotzeach b'shoge, who's in Golus, goes out of the Ir Miklat, and what? Kills someone. So I'll say, if ultimately again he kills someone, b'shogeg, he is gola, he is exiled, to which the Gemara says, so I'll say, how do I reconcile this? Lokashya, hakiman da amar, arminan dibra torah kalasha mani adam, hakiman da amar, lo arminan dibra la torah kalasha mani adam. I will say, ultimately again, it's a machlokes. This brisa aligns itself with the opinion that says that the Torah speaks in the normative jargon of regular people, and this one says it does not. Amar Abayi Mistabra, we're going to reconcile this in just a moment. Mistabra, Kiman Damar Dibra Torah Kalasha Mani Adam, Shlo Yehi Sofo Chara Mitchilaso. It appears that it makes more sense that the Pasuk is phrased in the way that people speak, in order that his Sofo, we'll say, the second case, not be any more Chamer than the original case. Matchilaso B'mezin Nerag B'shoye Gola. We'll say, just like again, initially, if he kills intentionally, he is killed. And if he kills unintentionally, he's sent to exile. So too again, af sofo b'mezid nerag b'shoge gola. Both say so too ultimately again in his end, if he kills intentionally, he is killed. Unintentionally, he'll be sent to galus. Tani chadas. Both say, listen to this. We have one brisa that says, Av sheharag bino, na'ase lo gol adam. V'tanya idach, ein bino na'ase lo gol adam. Both say, listen to this case. Let's say a father kills someone. We're gonna bring everything back together in just a moment. We'll come back to the halacha in just a moment. A father kills his son. Nebuch. A father kills his son. Let's say a father has two sons. So what's the shayla? Does the second son become a Gol Adam for his murdered brother? Now, we'll say, obviously, becoming the Gol Adam for his murdered brother also means that what? That he's going to kill his father. So we'll say, we have two brisos. One brisa seems to indicate that a son can become the Gol Adam for his father, and one brisa seems to indicate that the son cannot become the Gol Adam for his father. So which one is it? We'll say that one reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi Halevi, and one reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. In other words, we'll say, the one that says that the son could become the Gol Adam reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi, who says that what? That it is a mitzvah upon the Gol Adam to kill the accidental killer. And the Braisa that says that the son does not become a Gol Adam, that reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva, that says it's not a mitzvah, but rather what? It's an option. It's an option. So when the Gol Adam is a son, and when the killer is the father, we don't exercise the option. V'tizbara, bein l'madar ha-mitzah, bein l'madar ha-rishus, mishari. Rabbi, say one second. Whether you say that the Gol Adam has an option or a mitzvah, why should this be permitted? V'hamar Rabbi Barafuna, v'chein tarnad Rabbi Shmuel, l'kol, ein ha-ben na'asa shliach la'aviv la'kosa, l'kol lo'so, chutz mi'mesis, shari amra torah lo'sachmol, v'lo sechas alof. Rabbi, say one second. This is not permitted altogether. Rabbi, say we have a general klal. Then let's say the son works for Beis Din, right? Let's say the son is an employee of Beis Din. What's his job? He's the flogger, right? He is the guy who administers Malkus. Then what happens? Who happens to come in one day to Beis Din? His father. His father ate a cheeseburger, right? His father wore shatnez, whatever it is. His father's chai malkus. We'll say, what's the halacha? The son cannot administer lashes to his father. So we'll say, now if the son can't administer lashes to his father, when his father is chayiv malkus, then why would there be a havamina that the son has the right to act as the Gol Adam to kill his father? To which the Rabbi says, what do we do with the two contradictory brachos? The Rabbi says, watch this. Lokasha habibno, habiben bino. Oh, I will say, here's the difference. Everyone will agree that if father killed son A, but son B is still alive, that son B cannot act as the Gol Adam and kill his father on behalf of his deceased brother. The Rabbi says, what happens if father kills son A? Everyone agrees with that. Father kills son A, and then what? Son A, however, left behind a child. So I will say that grandchild, according to some, has the ability to act as the Gol Adam for his grandfather. So a son can never act as the Gol Adam towards his father who killed accidentally. A grandson can. Now I will say, now I'll show you something very interesting. If you look at Rashi says over here, Ela lo kasha ha bibno, ha disanya ain bino nasa gol adam, bibno sharotseach kamer. So we'll say, so the braisa that says that a son can't become a gol adam, that's a reference to a son. Aye, but the braisa that says that ha disanya bino nasa lo gol adam, bibno sharotseach kamer. We'll say that refers, but the braisa says that a son can become a gol adam, that's a braisa that refers to the son of the deceased, to the murdered individual. He could become the Gol Adam to his grandfather. Why? Ve'eno musar al kavodo. Because a grandson is not chayiv in the kavod of his grandfather. Now, I just point out, I'm going to give you some homework over the weekend. You'll dabble a little bit, because that seems to be contradicted in many different places. We have this concept that grandchildren are reckoned as children, legabi kibud ha'beim, many different circumstances. Yet here, apparently, in this context, we're saying that a grandson does not have a din to be mechabi to honor his grandfather. Okay, we'll add it to the list of topics we have to cover. We'll say, I just tell you, halacha lemaisa in this, halacha lemaisa, because again, the Gemara touched on a very important yisod, which is, what happens if somebody ventures out of the tchum of the Irmiklot? What happens if you're the killer b'shogeg, you venture out of the tchum? So let's, the Rambam paskins, yotza chutz the tchum Irmiklato b'shkaga, kala hargo bein gol adam bein shah adam gola ayado. Hargo b'so, so we'll say, the halacha is, and we're gonna get into this later on, if the killer b'shogeg ventures out of the Irmiklot intentionally, if he ventures out intentionally, then what? The Gol Adam has the right to kill him. If he ventures out unintentionally, it's b'shogeg, however you're proving that, the Gol Adam has no right to kill him. Not only that, but if the Gol Adam does kill him, then what? The Gol Adam will be responsible for that. Okay, says Mishnah. We'll say, let's go back there. Mishnah, Ilan Shu Omen B'sachat Chum. We'll say, these are great. This Gemara is so great. So great. Ilan Shu. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's really great. This is so great. So great. Says the Mishnah. Ilan Shu Omen B'sachat Chum. Let's listen to this. Let's say you have a tree. A tree that's standing in the Ir Miklat. And what happens? V'nofet noto chutz l'tchum. We'll say, see here this case? This is amazing. So the tree is in the Ir Miklat. But the branches extend outside of the Ir Miklat. Or you have a tree, and the trunk is standing outside of the tchum of the Ir Miklat, but the branches extend inside. So we'll say, so what's the shiloh over here? What's the status of the tree? And those who say, what we're really fundamentally asking is, how do you determine the location of the tree? To which the Mishnah says, Hakol holech achar hanof. Everything goes by the branches. Wherever the branches are, Rabbi Osai, that determines the identity of the tree. So Rabbi Osai, if the branches are in the Ir Miklat, even if the trunk is outside of the Ir Miklat, the trunk is also considered to be Ir Miklat space, to the point that if the killer b'shogeg, is running away, and he becomes a tree hugger, right? He holds on to the trunk, even though the trunk is outside of the ir miklat, since the branches are inside the ir miklat, that tree is considered to be what, Rabbi Elazar? Ir miklat, he'll be saved. Says the Gemara, one second. Or mini, I'll raise a kasha on that. I know people are getting hot under the collar about this. Take it down a notch, all right? We're going to see, because again, we know that in the realm of choshen mishpat, in monetary law, it might be a little bit different. We're going to see, it's not just monetary law. This is an incredible chiddush. Because normally, Rabbi Elazar, we say that where the trunk is, determines the idea. So again, we're going to see. Or mini, Elon Shu Omeid, who Omeid, actually, he changes it over here to Ilan HaOmed. I'm sorry. He changes it to Ilan HaOmed Bifnim. So, they will say, this is what Meister Sheni is, we're going to see. A tree is standing inside Yerushalayim. Inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Venot at Lochutz. But the branches extend outside of the walls. Rashi says over here, "Ilan shu ome bifnim b'yushayim u'le'inyin achilas ma'aseh shem b'yushayim hushnuyar." Let's listen to this. So a tree is in Yerushalayim, the trunk is in Yerushalayim, but the branches extend outwards. O ome b'chutz v'not alifnim, or the trunk is outside of the walls, and the branches extend inside. So what's the halacha? Mikineged achoma v'lifnim kilifnim, mikineged achoma u'luchutz kiluchutz. Now what this Brisa seems to be saying is what? Is ultimately, again, we judge the tree based on the part of the tree, based on where the tree actually is. In other words, Rabbi Elazar, remember, why is this important? You want to eat Ma'aser Sheni. Ma'aser Sheni has to be consumed where? Inside Yerushalayim. I want to sit on a tree and eat Ma'aser Sheni. Right? You ever have one of those days where you just want to sit on a tree and eat Ma'aser Sheni? So what happens? The Shaila is, where could I eat it? So the Braisa says over here, whatever part of the tree is in Yerushalayim, you can eat the Ma'aser Sheni. Any part of the tree that's outside of Yerushalayim, you can't eat Ma'aser Sheni. What do you see from here? You see from here that the branches are not the determinants for the location of the tree, but rather, again, we look at real location. To which the Gemara says, one second. Ma'aser ari miklat karamis. You're comparing apples and oranges. Ma'aser b'choma tal rachmana ari miklat bedira tal rachmana. We say, ultimately, again, by Ma'aser, it's a din ultimately in the walls. You can only eat Ma'aser Sheni within the walls of Yerushalayim. So who cares about who? It's not a question of what determines the location of the tree. What does it determine? Where is the tree located? Is the tree in the walls? You can eat Ma'aser Sheni there. Is the tree outside of the walls? You can't eat Ma'aser Sheni there. Rabbi Elazar, when it comes to your miklat, everything is determined by dam. So Rabbi Elazar, this is interesting. Why is it that the branches are the determinants of the location of the tree by your miklat? Because Rabbi Elazar, if you have a tree and you want to establish a domicile on the tree, where is the only place you can establish a domicile? In the branches. You can build yourself a tree house. You can't establish domicile on the trunk. Therefore, again, I will say, because of that, when it comes to an ir miklat, the Gemara is suggesting that the location of the tree will be determined by the location of the branches. So the Gemara says, you can live in the branches, you can't live on the trunk. But one second, let's go ahead and bring a contradiction from Ma'aser Sheni to Ma'aser Sheni. So says the Gemara, how so? So the Sanya, Yerushalayim halach achar anof, in Yerushalayim we go after the location of the branches of the tree, but ari miklat halach achar hanof, and in ir miklat ultimately, again, we also go after the nof. Shabbos, here's the problem. This is by Ma'aser Sheni. So here you see that in Yerushalayim, what is the Braisa saying? That we go after the location of the branches. Amrav kana lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Arabi Yehuda harabanon. Two different opinions. We'll say, how so? This Sanya, because we learned. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'ma'ara halech achar pischa, b'ilan halech achar nofo. Rabosa, listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda says, let's say you have a cave, Rabosa, that has an opening in one place, but ultimately, again, the cave itself spans a different location. Rabbi Yehuda says, the location of the cave is determined by where it opens to. Because wherever it opens to, that is considered to be the location of the cave, even though what? The actual space of the cave may extend into a different location. Take a look at Rashi. Tap Rashi. What this means is the following. Let's imagine this. You have a cave that opens up into Yerushalayim. But the actual cave extends where? Outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. So we'll say, what's the status of that cave? If it opens into Yerushalayim, then what? Then it's Yerushalayim. Even though, again, we know that the cave extends out of Yerushalayim. Similar, Rabbi Yehuda says, by a tree, the identity or location of the tree is established by its branches. So says the Gemara, Eimer, the Shama say that Rabbi Yehuda gabi meiser l'chumra. Right? Ultimately, again, say that Rabbi Yehuda holds this by meiser l'chumra. Ikara b'chutz v'nofa b'fnim. Ultimately, again, that when the trunk is on the inside and the branches extend outside, kihechi dibinofo lo matzi parik, bikar nami lo matzi parik, the same way Rabbi says, see that Rabbi Yehuda says the sheet of the chumra. Now, what does this mean? It's the trunk of the trees in Yerushalayim, but the branches extend outwards. I'm sorry, just the opposite. If the trunk is on the outside, but the branches extend inwards, kihechi dibinofo lo matzi parik, the same way, ultimately, again, in the trees that you can't redeem it, bikar nami lo matzi parik, you also can't redeem it on the trunk. Similarly, again, if the trunk is on the inside but the branches extend outwards, the same way you can't eat on the branches because you're outside of Yerushalayim, so therefore, again, without redeeming it, ultimately, again, you can't eat on the trunk either without redeeming it. In other words, see that when Rabbi Yehuda says that we go after the branch, what he's saying is we go after the branch, even the chumra. Elagabi ari miklat, Rabbi, when it comes to your miklat, bishlama ikaro bachutz v'nofo bifnim. Rabbi, also, when it comes to the case of where the trunk is on the inside of the ir miklat, I'm sorry, the trunk is outside the ir miklat, but the branches are on the inside, why don't we say, kihechi dibinofo lo matzi katale? Rabbi, also, listen to this. In this case over here, where the trunk is bachutz. I'm sorry, I read this wrong. Let me read this again. If the trunk is on the outside and the branches are on the inside, same way that the Goel Adam cannot kill the Ratzeach B'Shogig while he's on the branches. Why not, Rabbi Osei? Why not? Because the branches are on the inside. He also can't kill him, ultimately, again, when the Ratzeach B'Shogig is holding on to the trunk. But Rabbi Osei, if the trunk is on the inside of the Ir Miklat, but the branches extend outwards, why don't we say, Kiechi dibinofa matzi katile? Rabbi Osei, you can kill him when he's on the branches. Why? Because the branches extend outwards. Bi'ikaro nami matzi katile. Maybe you should be permitted to go ahead and kill him by the trunk as well. To which the Gemara says, one second, Hagavoikai. Rabbi Osei, how could that be? How could he kill him on the trunk? The trunk is on the inside of the Ir Miklat. Amar Rava, listen to this, Rabbi Osei. If the trunk of the tree is inside the Ir Miklat, everyone agrees that, of course, the Goel Adam cannot kill the Ratzeach B'Shogig. Why? Because the trunk is on the inside of the city. But what's the Shalom? Let's listen to this case. Watch this. See, here's the case. The case is where the tree is on the inside, the trunk of the tree is on the inside of the Ir Miklat. The branches extend outwards, so when the Rotzeach is holding onto the trunk, everyone agrees that the Goel Adam can't kill him. Why? 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 Because it's on the inside of the city. But I will say, watch this. What happens if the Rotzeach is on the branches? The branches extend outward of the city. So I will say now, the Rotzeach is sitting on the branches. The branches extend outside of the city. Can the Goel Adam shoot arrows or throw stones at the Rotzeach B'Shogeg? The Kuli Amalo Pligi Dematzakate. Everybody agrees that what? Yes, he can. Why? Because he's on the branches that extend outside of the city. I will say, listen to this. Ki Pligi, when do they argue? The Mehavi Ikaro Dargalanofo. I will say, this is what they argue about. Can the Goel Adam come inside the city to use the trunk as the stepping stone to the branches, in order to get to the branches which overhang outside of the tchum of the city? Can he come into the city to use the trunk as the step stool to get up into the branches? So the Gemara says, Mar Saber Havi Kara Dargal Anofo. One opinion says yes, he could use the trunk to be the step stool ultimately to get to the branches. Umar Saber Lo Havi Kara Dargal Anofo. And the other opinion says no, he can't go ahead and use the branches as the step stool. Ravashi says, "My achar hanof." What does it mean that we go after the branches? Af achar hanof. Rabbi say, what it means is we even go under, we even go after the branches. Rabbi say, now what does that mean? So Rabbi say, I'll tell you what is the halacha? Rabbi say, this actually is a very important sugya. What do we do with this? So what do you do with the tree in the ir miklat that overhangs outside, or that the trunk is outside and the branches is in it? So Rabbi say, listen to this. Halacha lemaisa. The Rambam paskins. The Rambam says, Elon, get ready for this. Elon, shu omid besoch tchum ari miklat. So I will say, ultimately, again, if you have a tree. Now, I will say, case number one is where the trunk is within the tchum of the ir miklat, but the branches extend outwards. Misheagia tachas hanof niklat. I will say, get ready for this. Once the rotzeach comes under the canopy, bless you, comes under the canopy of the branches, niklat. He has safety and security of the ir miklat. Rabbi say, by the way, hear what the Rambam is saying? This is dramatic. The Gemara never even spoke about this. Right? What did the Gemara speak about? If you're in the tree, the Rambam says, not only do the branches afford you security, right? Because again, the trunk is in the ir miklat, the branches extend outwards. Not only do the branches themselves, if you're living in them, afford you security, but even once you come under the branches themselves, you are under the canopy of the ir miklat. You're in the ir miklat. How you omid chutz l'tchum v'nof enot l'socha tchum. Rabbi say, what's about the second case where the trunk is outside of the tchum, but the branches extend into the tchum? Mishiyagio li'ikaro miklat. Once you get to the trunk is already the ir miklat. Rabbi say, what do you see? What is the Rambam paskin essentially? Whatever, as long as part of the tree is in the ir miklat, then what? The whole tree is in the ir miklat. Rabbi say, the additional chiddush is that even standing under the branches, those branches which extend outside of the ir miklat, as long as part of that tree is in the ir miklat itself, the branches afford miklat security as well. I told you, I didn't lie to you. Amazing. Rabbi say, one more piece. Harad ba'osayir. Rabbi say, listen to this. Now this guy has got tzaras. He's exiled already for killing someone b'shogeg, and then he kills someone else in that city. So Rabbi say, this is a guy who killed b'shogeg in the ir miklat. You don't want to stand next to him during a lightning storm, right? That's the idea over here. So he kills someone in the city. What happens? Rabbi say, go le'mishchuna l'shchuna. Rabbi say, he's exiled from one neighborhood to another neighborhood. In other words, that we don't exile him to another city. We just exile him to another neighborhood within the already existing ir miklat. Uben Levi golem earlier. Rabbi say, similarly, if a Ben Levi killed someone, Rabbi say, now this is, remember, the ari miklat are ari Leviim. So in this case over here, what's happening? A Ben Levi killed someone. So Rabbi say, so what do we do with him? We don't exile him to another neighborhood, because remember, he's already living in the ir miklat. Rather, him we exile to another city. Tana Rabbanon, v'santi l'cham makom. So Rabbi say, the pasuk says, I will give for you a place, talking about the ari miklat that Moshe Rabbeinu established. V'samti l'cha b'chayecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I will give you this opportunity during your lifetime to establish these cities. Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, again, establishes the three Arei Miklat on the Transjordanian area. Makom mimkomcha ata. Right? Mimkomcha. You have to be dislodged. You have to go ahead and leave from your place. Mimkomcha doesn't mean that. Mimkomcha means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that the Ari Miklat will come from the cities of the Ari Leviim. Moshe will come from your place. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Levi. It'll come from your place. From your portion will the Ari Miklat be established. Next, Asher Yonos Shama Melami Shayisua Megalin Bamidbar. Rabbi say, Asher Yonos Shama, that they will flee to there, teaches us that Rabbi say, people went to Galus even in the Midbar. Apparently there were accidental deaths even in the Midbar, and the din of Galus applied in the Midbar as well. Lehecha Megalin. So Rabbi say, if somebody kills someone else accidentally during their sojourn in the desert, so where did they go? They were in an Ari Miklat. Where did they go? Lemachan Leviya. Rabbi say, they went to the camp of Levi. Mikan Amar, based on this we say, Ben Levi Shahara Golem Miplach Leplach. Rabbi say, ultimately again, from here we learn that if a Ben Levi went ahead and killed someone accidentally, he is exiled from one Levitic city to another Levitic city. But let's say plach literally means Rashi is a Medina, one country to another. But what it means is he's exiled from one Levitic city to another Levitic city. Palcho kolto. But if inside of going to another city, he just went to another neighborhood, he exiled himself within his city, then ultimately again this works. Amrav Achabri Draviga Mikra. Rabbi say, what's the pasuk that teaches us that even if a Ben Levi didn't leave his city, but instead found found sanctuary, found miklat in his own city, different neighborhood that it works. What's the pasuk? Ki bi'ir miklato yashav. So what's it? Because the pasuk says, in the ear, literally, ki bi'ir miklato, in his ear miklat, he resided. Ir shekalta sokvar. Even the city, even if he remains in the city that originally provided him refuge, but just exiled to a different neighborhood, that's okay. So we'll say, so bottom line, as much as when a Ben Levi kills someone, he should be exiled to another Levitic city, another Ir Miklat, if he just exiles within that same neighborhood in his city, it works as well. Shekhar, we'll say, okay, I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.